Welcome to this special episode of the Fire Force Discussion. And I am Vincent Baker, and I'm coming at you from my car, driving home from work. So this is the first time I've done this before. I have about a 10-minute drive, so, you know, like, it's going to even out to be about the same length as a normal podcast that I'm doing here. Anyways, so I don't have, like, a regular, you know, podcast for Fire Force, and, you know, because I already have so much on my plate, but I recently finished episodes 19, 20, and 21, and, let's just say I'm a fan of the show, and, at first, I wasn't entirely sure because I love Soul Eater. Soul Eater is one of my favorite anime. I just think it's so much fun. I think it has a great tone to it. I think the characters are funny, but they have some real drama in the show. They have like some real interesting character designs, and I love how they have ninjas, and they have they have samurai, and then they have like Halloween aesthetic and stuff. It's like right up my alley, and just having that like unique art style is just like everything is just so good to me. And so when I heard Fire Force was written by the same person and, you know, had the same creator, I was super excited, except for I wasn't sure how I'd feel about them taking on, you know, the idea of, like, you know, the Fire Force, or, like, a firefighting aesthetic. Like, I love firefighters, I love what they do for us, I love their service. Not sure I want to watch an anime about it, but, you know, it has a very fantastical feel to it. And at first, when I heard about it, I didn't know that. I just thought it was about firefighters. And, you know, but I'm a huge fan of fantasy, and I really love what they've done with the show. When I first started watching it, I thought it looked good. I thought, you know, everything about it was pretty good, but nothing really hooked me, and nothing really said, like, wow, this is amazing. And it took me a while to get into the show, like, to where I was really liking it. I mean, honestly, I probably wasn't really hyped about the show until just now. I mean, when we go to, like, Benny's town and we see, you know, like, kind of have his arc, that was really cool for me, and I really love that. So that was, you know, kind of like the height of the show up to that point. But I think these recent episodes are some of the best I've seen in the whole series. And I think that they're really doing a good job. Now, I actually looked online to see what other people were saying about the episode. And I don't know what the general consensus is. It seems like there are a lot of people that love the episode, but it also seems like there's some people that really hate it. Like, I've seen people say that this is an awful episode, one of the worst ever, and it sounds ridiculous to me, though. And it seems like a lot of it stems from the fact of them saying, like, oh, you know, they built up this base being so tough, and they have, you know, this villain known as, you know, Assault, and he's the executioner and the assassin, and, you know, no one can beat him, and he, just by himself, he can take out the entire Fire Force. And then we saw what happens. We saw that Tamaki, along with Iris, beat the blessings out of them, to say the least, and it was so graphic that they had to censor it in the show. And I understand what they're saying, but I think it's a dumb point, because the thing is if everything went exactly like you thought it would, then I think that would make for a very boring show. And that's my problem with their take on it. I actually like it a lot because it doesn't go at all how you think it would. I mean, we see the lieutenant flick a bullet through Mirage's head, and I was like, and it's right after the other guy died, so I was like, holy cow, that guy just got executed. But he didn't. It was a Mirage, and of course I was fooled, even though, like in Naruto, you learn that anytime something like that happens, it's a substitution jutsu, and you just get to understand that. And so every time you see something like that happen, you're like, oh, it's a substitution jutsu. But in this, I knew the guy, his only thing was making mirages, and it still got me because of how the show set it up. And then later he gets gutted and he dies. So I think it's been really good at just keeping things interesting, switching things up. I don't know what to expect. I thought the captain, honestly, as soon as I saw the first episode of the series, I thought he had so many red flags surrounding him. He's still alive. He's made it much farther than I thought, and he's been an awesome character. And, you know, seeing his fight with Benny and what happened with that, and him going toe-to-toe with him, even though he doesn't have powers. I mean, are you kidding me? It's insane. It's awesome. I love how he says, you know, he's going to keep fighting, you know, with his comrades' lives on the lines, and he headbutts them. Anyways, I'm getting way too ahead of myself. I love the subversion of expectation. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think that's always a good thing. I think that sometimes a story is written in a way where it may be doing the cliche thing, or it might be doing the expected thing. And I honestly think that sometimes that's the best way to do it, because otherwise, if all your writing points to it going in that direction, and you just throw something out of left field just to do that, I do think that's bad writing. And I do think that you're just trying to, you know, yank at people's emotions just to do that. But I don't think that's what Fire Force did here. You know, I mean, we've seen that Tamaki, you know, of course, she's been, you know, crazy with her. I don't know what they call it, but, you know, where she will, you know, fall all over people and you know, kind of do the Naruto equivalent, to make another Naruto comparison, you know, like a sexy jutsu kind of thing. She's done that through the entire series. It's not like she just stumbled into doing that for the first time this time. She's done that before. And we've had, you know, character deaths in the show before. We've had the threat of danger multiple times. So, you know, we could fear for any of the characters. And, you know, when the guy said, you know, unleash the, you know, assault, you know, and to take out their whole team, he's never met the Fire Force team. I'm sure that assault could take on most people. I'm sure he's a very strong guy. Like, I'm sure that, like, if he was just going up against random scrubs, he would annihilate them. But he's not. He's going up against, you know, the fire soldiers of, you know, Squad 8. And they're not just pushovers. So, yeah, like, he did say that he could, you know, it was stated that he could probably take them all out. But that's with them not even knowing who they are, what their powers are, or anything like that. So it's not, to me, that's not bad writing. It would be bad writing if they fully analyzed each of the Fire Force members and all of Squad 8. They knew all of their abilities. They knew their weaknesses and their strengths. And they set up this articulate plan to take them out. And for some dumb reason, this guy who's their best guy, or one of their best guys, who they calculated would defeat all of them, just dies the way he did. Then, yeah, I would say that does sound like pretty, you know, piss poor writing. Like, that, you know, yeah, that would subvert your expectations, but that just doesn't make sense. It's like the show's just doing it just to do it. But I'm really not getting that from the show. I really feel like they're doing things in very interesting ways. Maki had an amazing scene where she had her hammers, where she had her two little fireball, you know, the Sprite and Flare, whatever they're called, and they go into the hammers that Vulcan made. And I knew ever since he showed off that hammer, or those hammers, and he's like, "Hey, I made these for you, they're hammers." I was like, "Oh my god, this is going to be awesome." Because there's no way that you're going to have these two floating hammers that can just pummel people in the face and that not be super awesome. But to see her fight with him so soon in such a satisfying way, honestly, it reminds me, I know a lot of people don't like this movie. I actually don't like this movie, really. Yeah, I don't like this movie, but I like this scene a lot. And it's in Batman v Superman. Again, I don't like the movie, but I do like Batman in that movie. He breaks people's arms and legs, and he just destroys them. And honestly, the way that she fought and how she was surrounded by all of them in this dark area reminded me a lot of that Batman in that scene, in a good way, just because of how brutal she was being. And, I think it's awesome. I think the show does a good job. It has, like, a high-octane energy. It's moving. It gets to the point. It doesn't feel like you're just wasting your time. The characters are interesting. They have different motivations. They have different quirks and personalities. Actually, speaking of which, maybe they could have a little bit more. Well, I don't know. The captain, so we've seen the I guess the only character whose motivation we don't really know all too well is, we don't really know Tamaki's, and we don't really know Arthur's. I think those are the two that might need the most developing at the moment. But we have really good characterization from the captain, from Shinra, from the lieutenant, which the lieutenant had an amazing scene. I love how he just flicks the bullet and it shoots up, and then the guy thought he missed, and it was to have Arthur come down and fight. It was great. I honestly really like these last few episodes. I haven't talked this positively of Fire Force ever. I mean, I thought Fire Force was pretty good going into it. I was kind of thinking it was like a 7 out of 10, though, maybe 7.5 if you do halves. And then I was moving it up to 8, but these last few episodes, honestly, for me, is around the 9. I mean, I really like them, so hopefully it keeps up this pace. I love that they're killing off some of the characters. I don't need the characters to always die. I love there being the threat of death, but I'm happy that they've held on to a lot of the main characters. The reason why I don't want characters to keep dying either is because I feel like there's a lot of potential that can happen from a lot of characters, and if you kill off too many characters too quickly, then, you know, you're just going to start ruining, you know, the people that really enjoy, like, your fan base of people who enjoy those characters. So I think it's better to, you know, threaten death, have some death sometimes. That way people know it's present and it's something that can definitely happen. But, you know, just have it in small areas so that it can fully affect the characters in the story and not just be something like, okay, another character died. Okay, another character died. Because that's happened to me in some anime where it's known for killing off a lot of characters and it just gets to the point where you're just desensitized and you don't really grow attachment to the characters because you expect them to die. So in this, it's like, okay, I expect all the Fire Force to make it. They're a good team. I want them all to live. I want them all to survive. I think it's possible that one of them can die. And, you know, honestly, for the story, I think one might die by the end of the season or maybe in the next season. But, you know, I think it's good that that threat's there, but I'm not, you know, it's, you know, because if they just kill them off all the time, then I would just not feel as attached as I do. Anyways, I'm just kind of rambling at this point. I like Fire Force a lot. I'm assuming you do too, if you're listening to me. So, let me know what you think of Fire Force. Thanks for listening. As always, you know, it helps support me just by listening to it. That's all you got to do, and it helps out a lot. So, thank you so much. Until next time, stay awesome.